Blog Talk Radio.
Trek Talking. All things Star Trek and beyond. Thursday night, 7:30 to 9:30. All hailing frequencies are open. iTunes, iHeart, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon, and wherever fine podcasts are found. Trek Talking. Boldly going wherever your mind is willing to go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Uncle Jim, and the one, the only, Leslie Hoffman. How you doing tonight, Leslie?
Oh, I'm doing fine. We had a snowstorm, let's see, Friday and Saturday, but that's done and over with, so now we're just back to a normal winter.
Yeah, we had about 6 inches here, but it's pretty much melted away already.
Yeah.
It's weird how
we
go from 20 degrees to 50 degrees. It's weird.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. I think the 10-day forecast, one of the days is going to be as high as 50, and yet there are other days in the 30s. So we're still not through yet.
I guess that's what you get when you live in the Northeast like we do. Well, I'm in New England. You're in the Northeast, but same difference.
Oh, yeah.
So this is episode 9 or episode 10, something like that. We've been flying right along with Stunt Trek. We are here. We're currently live right now for the next hour from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you're listening to my voice right now, right this second, that means you can call. And the number here is 646-668-2433. That's 646-668-2433. If you have a question for myself or the Leslie Hoffman, give us a call at 646-668-2433. And if you're our first caller, Leslie's going to make it worth your while with a 4x6 autographed postcard of your choosing. So give us a call at 646-668-2433, and don't miss out. So we've been moving right along, Leslie, talking about Nightmare on Elm Street, and last week we talked about Planet of the Apes. We talked about Star Trek. We've had Dennis Danger Matalone on. We chatted with Spice Williams, Vixis from Star Trek V, one of my favorite Star Trek movies. And we asked our fans on our Facebook page, the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization. You guys can go there on Facebook and check that out. What we wanted to talk about tonight. And the fans wanted to hear about your early career projects, and in particular, what it was like working with Leslie Nielsen and some of your early stuff. So what do you say we go down that road tonight?
Sounds good to me.
So let's talk about what was one of your first jobs you got in Hollywood, And how did that transpire? Because I would imagine that back in the early days, it must not have been too easy for a woman to get a job in a primarily male field.
Well, actually, it's still sort of true nowadays, but back then what happened was there was a movie called 2 Minute Warning, and they were filming also another football. It's a football movie where everyone's panicking and running down the hallways. There was also another movie called Black Sunday, but I was in 2 Minute Warning. And the stunt coordinator had to change out stunt people like every 3 days because you couldn't be shooting in various hallways and have the same faces running down the hallway. How'd that guy get to that side of the room or that side of the Coliseum? So you got to realize, like I say, how naive I was and the whole thing with the stunt business or getting into the Screen Actors Guild. I went to the set. I saw the stunt coordinator. I said, I'm a stunt woman or I want to become a union stunt woman. And he said to me, if you could get a letter from the producer, I will use you. Well, again, naive me, I figure I'll just call up the producer and ask for the letter. And I do. And a secretary answers the phone, and she goes, oh, what's your name? What's your birthday? You know, what's your social? And I'm dumbfounded that, you know, they're just saying, oh, yeah, we'll write you the letter to get into the union. Well, come to find out, there was this other person, this other woman, that was trying to get into the union, and she had connections at Universal, and her friend had talked to the producer and said, you know, a woman will be calling you up, asking you for the letter, give her the letter so she can become a union stunt woman. Well, the secretary thought that I was that person. So they wrote me the letter. And I got into the union, and I worked.
What about the other woman who was supposed to get the letter?
Right. Well, I mean, you know, they did write, after they found out what had happened, they did write a letter for this other one, and she got in as well. But it was like years later, we met on the street in the San Fernando Valley, and she goes to me, you got in on my coattails. And I had no idea what she was talking about. She had to tell me the story of why I got my letter so easily. Well, personally, I find it funny. I mean, it was just being in the right place at the right time. And because the truth of the matter, the way it works, in order to join the union, you have to have a union job. In order to get a union job, you have to be part of the union. Now, how do you break that circle? I mean, that's why there's so many people trying to get into the guild, and they might be lucky enough to get the break, but I'm sure there's more people that are still trying 10, 20 years later. But
is it still that way today, Leslie?
Oh, absolutely.
You still have to get a letter?
I mean, like I say, in order to get into the union, you have to have a union job. In order to have a union job, you have to be part of the union. I mean, so there really is no easy way to do it. They do have a new special rule that if you're hired as an extra, I don't remember how many days, but if you're hired as an extra for so many days, somehow it gives you a step up that you could join the union. But like I say, I don't know that rule, so I'm not gonna swear by it. But I've heard about this.
Now, 2 Minute Warning. was a movie with Charlton Heston. I remember I did see it. My parents' drive-ins were big back in the 70s, and so we went every weekend to the drive-in, and I remember seeing this movie. Charlton Heston was in it, and there was a sniper in the light tower at a football game, and he was shooting people, and at the two-minute warning, he was gonna just go crazy and start opening fire on everybody in the audience. And Charlton Heston was the officer, was the cop in charge of tracking down this crazy dude and stopping him. It wasn't a bad movie if I haven't seen it in a long time, but my 13-year-old self liked it. So what was your part in that movie? What stunts did you perform?
I think it was just that they needed people that, well, the other thing is you got to realize they had what's called, okay, there's something beneath a background performer or an extra. It's called a waiver. So that's a person that doesn't belong to the union. Back then they got paid $18 a day, and they had about 700 to 900 of these people hired. And on action, these people would just come rushing down the hallway. Well, so you're asking what my, you know, I would either have to fall down or part of the thing was they wanted stunt people around the actor to protect the actor from being knocked down by all these waivers, you know, all these other people and getting trampled. So I guess we were almost hired as bodyguards to make sure that, to make sure that the actor was standing upright and not getting trampled to death. I mean, it was amazing. After everybody would run by, you'd look at the hallway and there'd be shoes and glasses and, you know, just pieces of things that people lost. Or, I mean, it was really strange. But
so that that's not scripted at all. They just say action, and 90 people just go charging like wild animals down this hallway.
Oh yeah. Well, this isn't the first time something like this happened. Is that I was in a movie called "I Want to Hold Your Hand," where the Beatles were going to be on Ed Sullivan, and again they had about 500 to 700 waivers hired, and on action they were supposed to rush the limousine that they thought the Beatles were in. Well, there were, let's see, there were three stunt women that I was one of the three that jumped on the car, on the limousine. As it took off, it kind of jumps up on the curb and we roll off as it's driving down the curb and then back into the street and around the corner. Well, for some people, they think this is their chance that they're going to get discovered. And where it was, how do I say, where the director said, okay, these three stunt people are going to get on the car, everyone just stay near the car. Don't get on the car, you know. We would have other people getting on the car, and as we're trying to do our stunts rolling off the car, we're getting kicked in the face by just these crazed people who thought they were going to get discovered. In fact, one guy finally got kicked off the set because he was told multiple times, well, they did the take several times, and he got on the car every time. And like I say, he's rolling off the car with us. And kicking us, and I mean it's I'll tell you, people are more dangerous than like I worked with horses in the movie The Car. Believe me, people are more dangerous. I mean they'll purposely kick you or hit you or whatever. But this one thing I wanted to say back to 2 minute warning was, again, this was my first union film. Little girl from Saranac Lake, population 5,000. A stuntman and I are sitting at the LA Coliseum. And I'm looking at this Coliseum. You got to realize, I've never seen anything like this before. You know, my father didn't take us to baseball games or football games, or, well, at least he didn't take me to any of those. And I asked the stuntman, like, how many people does this place hold? He goes, 90,000 people. I go, 90,000 people? If you put all of Saranac Lake in the front row, we wouldn't even make it around the Coliseum. So that was a mind blower.
Now, did you get to work with Charlton Heston or meet him at all on the set while you were filming?
No, I don't. I didn't get to work with him, but another memory that comes to mind is, I'm trying to remember if he wanted an actor to jump on a stunt person or something like this. Is that he's telling this? I think it was an actor. He's telling him, "Well, just jump on the stunt people; they can take it." Director is beating the stuntman, you know, he's hitting him on the back, trying to show the actor how solid the stunt person was.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, look, you can punch a stunt person. Beep, bum, bum, bum.
And what did the union say about that? There must have been union guidelines.
No, the union, there's no one on the set to protect actors or stunt people. I mean, that's why there's so many accidents, because we don't have a safety person on the set.
Now, when you were on Star Trek, though, you said that, Spice Williams was your safety, and then you were the safety for Miles O'Brien's daughter. But back in the 70s, when you were doing your first films, they didn't have safeties?
Well, okay, you're sort of talking about two different things. Is that I'm talking about like a safety officer, you know, just like when animals work on a set that you have the Humane Society there. And believe me, the Humane Society... They're going to make their presence known. When I worked on Remington Steele and I was working with a dog, this guy was there, and there was an actor dog, there was a stunt dog, and there was a stuffed animal toy dog that I had to work with. I mean, who cares that I'm getting hit with stones as this taxi is peeling out of the driveway, but God... Protect that doggy. So back to what you're saying. What I'm saying is unions do not provide a steward on the set. Now, the stunt coordinator, due to a stunt, whether it be a high fall and you need spotters around the airbag, or, like, say, the young child on the cliff, or that I'm doing this jump off of the promenade, the stunt coordinator will hire a safety. So I don't – do you sort of understand the difference of that, or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm making myself clear about you know, let's, like you say, a steward as opposed to a safety hired by a stunt coordinator.
Right. I get it. That's cool. Hey, listen, we have to take our station identification break right now, but we'll be right back with Stunt Treks with Uncle Jim and the Leslie Hoffman. Don't touch your dial. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this short message.
Hi, this is Jamie from Trek Talking, here to invite you to join us for the best sci-fi themed podcast. Our elite team of Trek-sperts are here to discuss Star Trek and sci-fi themed content. Call 646-668-2433 Thursday nights from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Coast Time. We can't wait to hear from you. Live long and prosper.
And we're back. So, Leslie, people wanted to hear. It's funny, last week we were talking about Planet of the Apes with Charlton Heston, and tonight we're talking about the two-minute warning with Charlton Heston. is there any other famous classic actors that you've worked with before, like Charlton Heston or maybe Roddy McDowall or, I don't know, Ricardo Montalban or anything like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, on Remington Steele, I don't know if these names mean anything to people anymore, but I worked with Raymond Land, who, you know, he was a movie star in his time. At the point that I worked with him on Fantasy Island, he was much, much, much older. But I worked with Pamela Franklin, Tippi Hedren, Ricardo Montalban, Leslie Nielsen, Tom Baker, Doctor Who. I worked with Doris Ron. You know, there are people that I worked with that actually have more memorable roles now. Like Doris Roberts was Mildred on Remington Steele, but people remember her more for being Raymond's mother on Everybody Loves Raymond. In the case of Rose Marie, that's going in the other direction. She was most recognized for being the female writer on the Dick Van Dyke Show. Ricardo Montalban, I mean, he was a movie star, you know, way before he did Fantasy Island or was Khan or, you know, in Star Trek. Wendy Jo Sperber, I was doubling her before she was doing Bosom Buddies, which I think people would remember her with Tom Hanks in Bosom Buddies. And she was in Back to the Future, I think the first, well, she definitely was in the first movie. She was sort of in the second movie, not as much. Somebody else. I doubled Conchata Farrell. Now, that name may not mean anything to you, but she was Berta on Two and a Half Men. She was the heavyset, redheaded housekeeper. Yes, no?
I'm just soaking it all up like a giant sponge. That sound you hear, that's me soaking up information like a sponge. I'm Sponge Jim SquarePants.
I mean, you know, Harry Morgan on MASH, I mean, he definitely had a full career before he was Colonel Potter. I doubled Cindy Williams on Laverne and Shirley. I was in the car with James Garner on Rockford Files. I mean, Bernie Coppell, who is more known for the doc on Love Boat, but he had a guest role on Fantasy Island. But this is all Aaron Spelling, so that's why you see people like from Charlie's Angels, Fantasy Island, Love Boat, Starsky and Hutch. You see these actors back and forth. You know, they're either starring in their own show or they're guest starring on another Aaron Spelling show.
Yeah, because that's how Hollywood worked back in those days. You didn't have a lot of this cross contamination like we do today.
Yeah, or I notice on Facebook that people realize that actors that are on Next Generation are suddenly on Deep Space Nine or suddenly having a starring role on Voyager. And again, it's the same thing. You have the same exact casting directors for those Star Trek series. So, you know, if they liked somebody, they kept bringing them back, and they would put them in different roles. So that's why you see these actors, like you say, come across on different series.
Now, our phone number here is 646-668-2433. That's 646-668-2433. If you have a question for Leslie about any of the movies she's worked on in her career, give us a call right now at 646-668-2433, and she'll be more than happy to answer your questions. Sorry to interrupt you, Leslie. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay.
So, yeah, we're back.
Are we talking?
Oh, yes,
okay.
We are.
So the other interesting is, as you work in this industry, I was a cave woman in the Flintstones, Viva Rock Vegas, and yet I'm doubling Torres in the 24th century. So I feel like Mr. Flint in Requiem for Methuselah. I spanned a lot of generations.
So, in particular, one of our fans wanted to know if you worked with Leslie Nielsen and what he was like in person versus what we see of him on screen, if he was just as funny in person.
Oh, yeah. He definitely is funny in person. Well, and besides that, we shared the same name. I was on the Naked Gun set. And, you know, obviously they're doing all this dialogue most of the day. And they would go Leslie to the set. And, you know, Leslie would go up and he'd do his scenes. And we finally get towards the afternoon or end of the day. And they go Leslie to the set. Except this time they really mean me because they're ready to do the down the banquet table stunt. And Leslie comes up to the table that I'm at and he goes, Leslie, that's a nice sounding name, and I really wish I could have come with a snappy comeback, but about the only thing I could say to him was, I think so, Leslie. And the other thing is he did this, I think this happened on a talk show, and it is true, is he had a mini whoopee cushion. So he would stand, he really did do this. He would stand next to people and go,
oh,
but,
boy.
But he was, yeah, no, he was a funny guy. Well, and again, working on that Naked Gun, not only was it nice, you know, working with Leslie Nielsen, he was friendly to everybody. You know, I go on the set, and here's Ricardo Montalban, who I worked with on Fantasy Island, you know, I'm not sure how many years before that. And he comes up to me and he goes, hello, Leslie. It's like this movie star remembers my name? You know, it wasn't even that, like, have we worked together before? He knew exactly who I was.
That's pretty cool,
again,
actually.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. I do have... there was a stuntman on the set with his own camera. How he had his own camera on the set, I don't know. But I do have a picture of me dressed up as the queen with Ricardo Montalban standing behind me. I'm sitting down, and standing behind me is Ricardo. And I'm so glad I have that picture. I mean, because usually, you know, I think we've talked about this before, is that I decided early on in my career I was not going to go up to an actor and go, oh, I think you're the most great, you know, actor in the world, and can I have my picture with you? Can you give me your autograph? I mean, no, this is a working set, and you have to have some dignity about it. You know, we're all working, and actually you could make an actor very uncomfortable. I mean, there's some actors that don't want that, or I would say actually most every actor doesn't want to be attacked on the set. I mean, they're there to work. They don't need some, you know, pawing them or something like that. So, you know, I would, if an actor gave me, what should I call it, an opening, you know, that they would start talking to me first, I wouldn't ignore them. I mean, I'd start talking back with them. And Doris Roberts was very nice. Rose Marie, I doubled her on an episode of Remington Steele. And she starts, she pulls out her wallet and she starts showing me pictures of her grandchildren. I mean, she was just so sweet. Pierce was, well, I have a story about Pierce. Pierce was always nice to me, but what I didn't realize that he usually had, let's see, I got to get this in the right direction. I usually had an earlier call than he did. So by the time he would come onto the set, I would already be dressed up as Doris Roberts. Well, one day, he had the earlier call. I come onto the set with my stunt bag and my long brown hair, and I go, "Hi, Pierce." And Pierce goes, just this really, like, wow, I wonder if he's having a bad day today. And I just, you know, I got dressed and I'm on the set. And a little bit later, Pierce walks up to me and he goes, "Leslie, I am so sorry. I thought you were blonde." He didn't recognize me. Yeah. And then also I worked with Fred Gwynne, who was Herman Munster. And it turns out that as a teenager, he used to vacation in Lake Placid, which is about 9 miles away from Saranac Lake. So we had a nice, really nice conversation the day that I worked on. It was a made-for-TV movie. It was like Monsters Come Home or something like that. It wasn't the episodic show.
I used to love that show as a kid. I never missed it. I love the Munsters.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's – and I'm old enough that I remember Fred Gwynne on Car 54, Where Are You?
And now, of course, the Munsters was black and white because they didn't have color, but what was it like to see them in color? For real, I mean, was he actually green?
You know, I'm trying to remember because he was in makeup, but I'm really drawing a blank on it. He obviously wasn't skin tone, but I can't tell you whether he was sort of a white or white-green, but he definitely was Herman Munster when I was working with him. I mean, he wasn't out of the costume. It's just... And he is that tall. I mean, well, besides that the boots help, but he was a very tall actor.
I bet he was. Like Carl Striken,
yeah,
played Lurch in the new movies. He's just that tall too.
Yeah, yeah. So
number here is 646-668-2433. If you have a question for Leslie, please give us a call. 646-668-2433. We're talking about Leslie's early career shenanigans and some of the famous people that she's had the pleasure of meeting and working with through her long, illustrious career. So how about John Wayne? Does that name ring a bell?
Never worked with him. Sorry. Yes, it rings a bell, but no, I didn't work with him. I don't know if I really worked with any Western-type actors. And I feel like I must – see, now, like I say, I'm starting to – things are becoming a blur. So I did work Death Wish 3, and I obviously was saved by Charles Bronson. But I, for the life of me, I can't remember if Charles Bronson was on the set or not, or if it was his stunt double that was there, which is kind of sad that I'm losing those memories. but I would guess that he was there, but I just don't. Maybe he was the type of actor that, you know, he was on the set and then he was off the set, and maybe that's why I don't have a clear memory of Charles Bronson. But I worked on Clue with Tim Curry, which everyone would know him from Rocky Horror Picture Show, Christopher Lloyd from Taxi, and I don't know. I'm sorry. That Klingon, you got to tell me which movie it was, but that Klingon, when he opened up his mouth, I'm going, that's Reverend Jim. That Klingon is Reverend Jim.
That was Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, and that was Commander Crudge. Or Crudge. I don't think it's Crudge. I think it's Krug, but Star Trek III. And we have a caller, Leslie. You ready to talk to one of your fans?
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. Let's see who we got. Hello. Thank you for calling Stunt Trek tonight. What's your name and where are you calling us from tonight?
Well, this is David again, calling from California. Hey, guys.
David, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Just listening to the show, and I'm like, I'm going to call in before someone else calls in. I got to get the other autographs, you know?
Yeah, you're going for the full collection.
That's what I'm going for. I'm going to be the first one who get them all. That's my goal.
Well, it's good to have a goal.
So did you
have a question for Leslie?
Yeah, I have a kind of small one. Leslie, did you have any actors you acted with and done sets with that, like, you acted, like, on the TV show, and if they also did a movie? Did you ever have anything like that happen?
Oops, I'm not sure what I heard something about TV show and a movie. I'm not sure what the question was.
Have you ever worked with an actor that you did a TV show with and also did a movie with?
Boy, I'm trying to think about that.
I got a stumper.
it would be Wendy Jo Sperber. I doubled her in I Want to Hold Your Hand, 1941. A movie that was out for maybe only 2 weeks called Stewardess School. But then she actually was on the episodic Private Benjamin. So I did do a television show doubling the same actress on feature, not necessarily the same character, but doubling the same actress on both features and television.
Wasn't Goldie Hawn in the original Private Benjamin?
It was Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn was Private Benjamin in the movie, but I don't remember the actress that did the television show.
Okay, I was just curious.
wasn't that Demi Moore?
Say that again.
Am I thinking, was that Demi Moore that did that? B.I. Jane, was it?
Well, that's a movie.
Something different?
Okay, yes, she did that movie. But Private Benjamin was this rich woman who, whatever reason, she joins the army. She joins the army. And she decides to be military. But they did, like I say, after that movie came out, they did do the television show. But it's like MASH. It's Donald Sutherland was actually Hawkeye Pierce in the movie, while Alan Alda was Hawkeye Pierce in the television show.
Yeah, and actually, I prefer the TV show over the movie myself, but it's just my personal. I think that's because I've watched so many episodes of the TV show that they just feel just comfortable. So we have our last and final station identification break. Don't touch your dials. Don't go away. Stunt Trek with the Leslie Hoffman. We'll be right back after this short break. Don't go away.
This is Chris from Trek Talking and Beyond, here to invite you to join us for the best science fiction-themed podcast on the Internet. Our elite team of Trexperts are here to discuss Star Trek and other sci-fi-related content, and we want to hear from you. Dial 646-668-2433 on Thursday nights from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. on East Coast time. Hailing frequencies are always open, and we'll get you on the air to share your opinions. We have faith you will call.
And we're back, and that's right. 646-668-2433 is the number here. You can call that number just like David did, and you can talk to Leslie live right now. So, Leslie, let me ask you a question. What are some of your favorite movies? Not necessarily the favorite movies that you've been in, but of the movies that you've done, what are your favorite movies? The ones that you like to watch just as a fan in general?
Well, okay. The thing is, I think I should have been born or living in 1920s, 30s, in that time period. So I like watching TCM and I tend to like the black and white movies. So, you know, if you were hoping for me to say current movies, I mean, you know, it's like now Voyager, actually this morning Lost Horizon was on. I mean, those are classic movies, or the original A Star Is Born. I mean, but then again, let's move up some, is that I still like the original Planet of the Apes with Roddy McDowall. I liked Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I thought that was a great film. I mean, that, you know, that's me as a teenager growing up and watching movies. So I like those movies. I'm just trying to – I mean, I tend to like musicals, but people really don't make musicals anymore. I mean, it's sort of a passé thing. I mean – maybe the last musical that I thought was really good was Chicago. But
Star Trek?
Yeah. I mean, obviously the Star Trek movie. Sorry about that.
You left out the most important one.
My mindset is in the non Star Trek, you know, genre right now, so that's why. Yeah. But just going back, is you got to realize, you know, new generations come in. So I was the stunt coordinator of a fan film called Father Xmas, and it was Dakota Fanning's, like, one of her first films. So think of Dakota Fanning as like a 5-6-year-old, or going in the other direction. There was a movie that I was a stunt coordinator and stunt double called Mulligans that Tippi Hedren was in, but she's known for The Birds. You know, so I worked with Tippi. And then, you know, there were acting roles that I had. Well, probably the one that most people recognize is Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean, if people see me and know that I'm the hall guard, you know, they'll say, "Where's your past? Screw your past. Hey, Nancy, no running in the hallway." But one of my early jobs was I actually worked on Emergency, where supposedly this this backhoe tractor flipped over on top of me, and I'm down a hill and Gage and DeSoto are supposed to go down the hill to save me. Now, again, these are actors, and there's a technical supervisor on the set, but so they come down the hill, and they put me on this backboard, and they strap me in, but then they're supposed to walk up the side of the hill with me on this backboard, except that they didn't have me in strapped in tight enough. So as they're, they're taking me up the hill, I'm sliding down, and the webbing is coming up around my neck. You do not want to be rescued by Squad 51.
Rampart.
Right, exactly. Well, I did get to go to the hospital with Robert Fuller and I'm mixing up characters' names and actually actors' names. You know, Julie and. Let's see, was it Les Brown or, I can't remember. But the two doctors and the nurse, you know, they have my so-called father on one table and I'm on the other table and, you know, they're patching us up. But it was a lot of fun. Well, and then, you know, that just reminded me about camera angles, is that you can't have someone laying flat on their back on a table, because if you take the camera, the film, you're going to film up the person's nose. So they actually had like a wedge underneath me that the top half of my body was slightly elevated. So like you say, so you wouldn't see my nose hairs.
That
actually was two different days. In fact, there was a third day to emergency. Is they had to what it's called looping when they couldn't get the sound on the set to go into this sound stage, this booth, and you know say your lines again, or in this case it was groaning. So I'm at Universal, and they have me in this booth. And I'm supposed to be groaning like I'm in pain, and I'm going, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. I'm doing a porno show. I don't know. I really don't know how you would groan to sound like you were in pain. No matter how you groan to sound like you're in pain, it could be taken the wrong way. No, that's a, let me try that.
See, the things you learn on podcasts, things you never thought of, huh?
Right. I mean, it just, well, I say, well, now you just made me that up. Like the props, you know, you think these are space age props and they turn out to be painted tomato plant, you know, those open grid tomato plant things upside down, just painted gold or gray. I mean, and that's the space age prop.
But it looks so good on TV, though.
I know. Well, that... Which is very interesting about the Batliv is that people think that they're made out of metal and they were made out of rubber. Well, in fact, that was something that I noticed on Discovery, is that I feel like the comm badge, or well, I guess those aren't comm badges, I feel like the badges on Discovery are metal because they did seem to have a reflection to them. So I'm
surprised. We had a extra from Star Trek Beyond on our show up when they were filming up in Canada. And she came on and she said that the badges that they wear, this is the movie, but I'm sure the TV show is probably the same because they look, Discovery looks like a movie every week. So I'm assuming it's the same. And she told us on the show that the badges that they wear in Star Trek Beyond are actually badges. They're real metal badges, and they have double-sided sticky tape on the back, and they have the prop people put them on your uniform exactly where they need to be. And if they fall off, you're not allowed to touch it. They have to have another prop person come and reattach it, and they counted the badges before and after every shoot, so to make sure none of them disappeared.
That's right. Same thing. At Paramount is, well, ours were it wasn't plastic. I can't think of what material you would call it, but it's not what the batlifts are made out of. But our comm badges were not metal. They were painted some kind of pseudo plastic. But you are exactly right, is that ours were held on with Velcro. There was the Velcro, whatever you want to call it, threaded side and the other side, with the hoops. So that's how ours were stuck on. But you're not kidding. I mean, those badges, They were put on and off by that particular union, and they had to keep account of these badges because, as you said, they didn't want people taking them home as souvenirs.
Which, of course, who would do anything like that, really? Come on.
Who, me?
So we got a couple of announcements to make for you guys. We want to start early so we don't lose anybody. We're going to start going to Tuesdays because I'm going to be going up to camp. So we're going to start moving the show to Tuesdays instead of Sundays while I'm at camp. And I think our first Tuesday show is going to be on, April 2nd? Did we decide, Leslie?
Oh, was it April 2nd? I already forgot. That's right. At first,
or,
I thought you had said May 7th, but
May
I mean,
7th,
if you want to start
it.
Doing
that's
it
right.
in April, we can start doing it in April.
Nope, I'm looking at my calendar, and it's going to be May 7th. We'll go to Tuesdays. Same time, 7 to 8 on Tuesday, May 7th. And then that'll only be for the summer months. And then at the end of the summer months, if we want to shift back to Sunday, we will. But that'll be because I'll be up at camp all weekend, and I won't be able to get home from camp and get the show programmed and set up and done by 7 o'clock on Sunday when I'm up at camp. So we're going to be moving the show to Tuesday nights. Our first Tuesday show will be on May 7th. So mark your calendars. We don't got you guys to miss any of the fun. Also, don't forget, Thursday night, we have Trek Talking and Beyond with yours truly and, of course, D. Leslie Hoffman. And we're going to be talking about the Red Angel. We know who she is now, or do we? So we're going to have some fun talking about Star Trek. Yeah, we're going to have some fun with that one. And we're also going to be talking about the Orville episode, Never Forgotten. What was the name of that episode? I don't remember.
I guess we forgot what the Forgotten episode was. All I know is that there was a cell phone.
Lost and Forgotten or Limitless, Never Remembered or so. Anyways, we're going to be talking about the latest Orville episode as well on Thursday night. So you guys make sure you tune in from 7:30 to 9:30. The number's the same, 646-668-2433. And Leslie, what do you say? I noticed that you've done a lot of horror movies and that you're a bigger draw at the horror conventions. Oh, basically because you were the hall monitor in Nightmare on Elm Street. But what do you say we talk about horror movies? your horror movie roles on our next show. How does that sound?
Oh, okay. Yeah, As I was looking through my credits, I didn't realize. I mean, it's not that I've done hundreds of horror movies, but I am surprised on how many horror movies I have done.
Yeah, I was looking at it too, and I was like, wow, there's quite a few there.
Yeah, no, that sounds good.
So we'll talk about some horror movies, and I'm sure that you've run into some horror icons at some of the horror shows that you've done. And I'm sure you have some stories that you can share about that as well. So how about next week we'll talk about horror movies. We'll start with, obviously, Nightmare on Elm Street. And we'll just go from there and see where this path meanders and where it takes us and where we end up, because you never know.
Yeah, no, sounds good to me. And
yeah,
fans are always welcome to, you know, ask questions on Facebook or if they have an idea or would like a subject of a show, we're more than welcome to listen to what the fans want to hear.
Absolutely. And, you know, you guys can talk directly to Leslie on her fan page on Facebook, the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization fan page on Facebook. You can go right there and leave Leslie a message, and she's pretty good at getting right back to you. You can also purchase autographs there. There's several different ones you can choose from, you know, not just Nightmare on Elm Street, but there's some Star Trek ones there as well that you can pick from, and Leslie will sign those. Those will be full 8x10s, though, not the small postcard ones like David called and won tonight. Those will be full 8x10s, and she'll make it right out to you, which is awesome. So you can go right to the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization fan page and make that happen. So, and ask Leslie any question, and she'll get right back to you. And if you have a suggestion for something you'd like to hear us talk about on the show, or something about Leslie from her background, please go on the Facebook page and leave us a message there, and we'll definitely be more than happy to talk about it on a show. Right, Leslie?
Absolutely.
Because we're here for you guys. Without the fans, we'd be talking to ourselves, and we could do that on the phone anytime, right? So.
Well, as I've always said, is that if it wasn't for the fans, I wouldn't be here. I mean, I appreciate the fans as much as, or more so than the fans probably appreciate me. I don't think they realize what a critical part they are to this industry or to this whole situation. It's a full circle.
Yes, it definitely is. And listen, we're running out of time, so I wanted to say thank you to David for calling. It's always great to hear from you, David. David runs 10 Forward on Facebook as well, and it's great to hear from our fans. It's great to hear from you, David, and it's definitely thank you, Leslie, for hanging out for an hour and chatting with me about stunts on Stunt Trek. It's always great to chat with you.
Oh, as always, talking with you.
To me,
you know, you're talking about opening up your camp. I think you almost have to be from the Northeast to understand when someone says, "I'm going to be opening up my camp soon." I mean, that's nothing that ever happened in Los Angeles. You didn't hear an actor or some person saying, you know, "Oh, it's spring or it's summer, I'm going to go open up my camp now." To me, that's Northeast.
Well, we have such a short season. It's only 3.5 months, so we have to enjoy it while we can. And we'll be back with Leslie on Thursday night for Trek Talking, and we'll be back next week. We'll talk with Leslie about horror movies. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great night. Be good to each other, and good night, Leslie.
Good night.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.